Diary of Doom as we look back on the rich history of doom metal and its sister sounds. Based on their counted tales of its followers, of course, every week we'll have a different guest to spin their yarn. You can follow us on Instagram at Diary of Doom, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Diary of Doom. Please follow the podcast over at diaryofdoom.podbean.com. And subscribe and listen to the podcast on iTunes and Spotify. And if you have a question or want to pitch me something or give me some shit, you can fire off an email to diaryofdoom1968@gmail.com. And this week we have Mark from Iron Rider, their band out of New York. Thanks for taking the time out of your day,
dude. No problem, brother.
We're hanging out in, where are we?
We are at the Speakeasy Bar in the pizzeria Evil Olive.
It's very cool.
It's pretty awesome.
I really thought we were going into the walk-in fridge when we were coming in. Yes. So, as I said, Mark is in Iron Rider. He's the guitar player and the vocalist. And we'll get to that, of course. But I guess, so what were like your earliest experiences in music? Like, were you always a music guy? Were you always into heavy metal? Or was there like a transition?
Oh, I've always played music. I've loved playing guitar. I started playing at a very young age. I played in some thrash bands before when I was maybe 16 or 17 in high school. I played in Death by Names, which was a death metal band, and later on did a progressive death metal project called Vifinita. And so yeah, there was a couple of other projects, but the music was it was definitely different. It was definitely faster.
More aggressive.
Yeah. A lot more aggressive.
Definitely not slow and doomy.
Not slow and doomy. A lot of blast beats, just very quick tempo type music. You know, Anthrax, Death, things of that nature, you know.
Is that what you cut your teeth on, or did you have a period in your life where you kind of found out about heavy music?
Oh, that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
When I started getting into heavy music, it was death metal at first.
Okay.
Yeah. I find myself going back very often. They're definitely at the roots, along with blues as well. But blues music to me was something I enjoyed a little bit more as an individual,
sure,
rather than as a group with other people, you know, or in a band rather too.
Cool. Yeah. Did you find out about this stuff in like high school, college? Like, you know, was that where like you found out about your, you know, your earlier influences and whatnot?
Well, how did I find out about it? You want to know how I found out? At first I was never really into metal at all. I was into hip hop. Very, very into hip hop. And what happened was my mother's boyfriend at the time gave me a Pantera CD.
You know, that makes sense though, because they had that, like, they kind of had that weird appeal,
yeah,
like at the time.
Yeah. It was Reinventing the Steel.
Okay.
That's the album that he gave me, and I was really young. I was like 14 or 15. And I remember looking at this album cover. It's like a crazy looking album cover. Have you seen it? It's like fiery, and there's like a guy jumping out of the fire, and he's holding on to something. It was like very crazy, and I remember putting it on.
Is it the one with the cat?
No. It's different.
With the cat is the one that I forget what the album is, but it's like really bad.
All I know is that was a very, I guess, aggressive way to get me into the music, but in a way, I guess it's kind of what I needed, you know? It just really I was like, oh my God, it just totally blew me away. And I guess the rest is history. I started just looking into other bands at the time that were...
That's the one you're thinking. Yeah, if you haven't seen it,
I've never seen that one, actually, just Google
Pantera Metal Magic.
Yeah.
I think it's like their first record.
That's the one right there, though, just in case you were wondering.
That one I know. This one is like, it's a very hyper-sexualized cat.
I kind of wish you gave me that album instead. That looks cooler.
I don't know if the album itself is actually cool. So that's how you like got into heavy metal. So then in terms of doom metal, was it just like the natural progression of like I found it just by exploring the genre, or was there like, was someone like, you should listen to this?
Doom metal came way later.
It usually seems to come later for people.
It's so interesting, you know, it's kind of funny because it's you know, as much as it is slow tempoed music, it also does take, you know, a slow amount of time to grow. You know, everyone who I've known, who I've shown Doom to, it kind of takes them a little bit to get into it. They're never blown away, you know? So, I mean, to answer your question, years later, I was in Brazil, and I was living there for a little bit, and I was sort of in a very like rural town. There wasn't a lot of music or access to music there, and I remember asking some friends that I made there if there was a person who I could, you know, hang out with, who like would, you know, could, you know, show me some bars or like a metal place to hang out, to see some bands and stuff, and introduced me to this guy named Jay. And we became really close friends, and I remember riding in his car one day, long story short, and he put on Black Mass, Electric Wizard album, and we were drinking and we were smoking, and I remember like listening to it, and just like the Pantera you know, situation, it got me into it right away. It didn't even take very long, you know? I was like, oh my God, this is incredible. I loved everything about it, from the guitar tone to just the effects, and everything was just so spacey and just very nightmarish, you know, and creepy.
It's a very specific image and sound.
Yeah, but fun, you know, And it had this like kind of rock and roll element to it that was just very enticing. And I was like, man, this is amazing. And then that night I went home and I looked up Electric Wizard because I asked him what band it was, and that's what he told me. He told me it was Electric Wizard, and I listened to Super Coven, and that was it. Oh my God! When I heard that track, I was like, oh my God, this is incredible. And then that was that was pretty much the
gateway.
The gateway. That was the experience that led me to discover many other bands.
It's funny about Electric Wizard because I love Electric Wizard now, but when I was first checking them out in, I guess it was college, when I was starting to sort of expand my musical portfolio, if you will call it, or taste, whatever. I remember like listening to it and just being like, God, this is like really heavy and pretty. I think at the time I felt like it was unpleasant to listen to. Like I wasn't really ready for it. Like you know, I was like, I like this, but it's just like, I don't know. And then it was like after I graduated, I remember putting it back on and being like, ooh, this is like really good. There's something about, you know, there's something about this that really, you know, just like hits that sweet spot.
No, I got
So you, in Iron Rider, you play guitar and you sing. Who are some of your guitar influences?
Guitar influences. Definitely a lot of blues musicians. I definitely listen to a lot of Junior Kimbrough. I listen to a lot of R.L. Burnside as well. Muddy Waters too. I'm inspired by a lot of blues singers as well as guitarists. A lot of other rock and roll musicians from the 70s and '60s as well. Jimi Hendrix, I think, is a big influence on me as well. As well as a lot of guitar players too. I mean, those are some right off the bat. I mean, there's a couple of more obscure musicians. Wild Billy Childish is a great guitarist. He's a great musician as well. Overall, he's a composer. Very much influenced by him. He's more like punk blues, you know. I mean, so those are I guess are a couple there. Carlos Santana, he has a very unique style that I follow as well. I guess those would be some guitars that I would listen to.
His models, his like actual physical guitars are cool as fuck too.
Oh yeah.
They're really nice. Those like mahogany bodies and whatnot.
What I admire most about him is, especially with the earlier Santana albums, it's like you barely needed a vocalist because his style was so melodic that it was like,
it kind of like filled that void.
Totally, absolutely, you know what I mean? Like I found myself like, you know, whenever I hear the solo coming up, you kind of hum along to it. It's very easy to memorize. It's very memorable. You know, it's nothing very flashy. It's just a very catchy, very beautiful melody. And I always liked that. That was very cool.
Has it always been guitar? Has that always been your instrument?
I do play a little bit of saxophone too.
Okay.
Guitar sax, yeah.
So we need a doom metal band with a saxophone in it.
I have thought
actually
about
there is a, I don't know if they're strictly doom, but there is a band called Dreadnought, if you're familiar with them at
I'm
all.
Not.
Okay. Oh, they're cool. I believe they're out of I think they're out of Colorado, and they have a their drummer is also a saxophonist.
Oh, there
so
you go.
I saw actually I'll at the obviously at the time of recording after talking with Mark, I'm going to see Church of Misery at the Kingsland, but nice. This is where I saw Dreadnought. Last year, and they, I was like, oh, I forgot they had a saxophone in the band. It's pretty cool. So.
Oh yeah, I have thought about it. I haven't played in a long time, but I have thought about it. Yeah.
Got to be the first. Well, maybe not the first, but one of the only. It would be cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I saw you guys for the first time at Ode to Doom last year in November, yeah, and that was
cool.
And that was your first show, right?
Yes. Oh my
okay,
god.
Okay. So what?
It was so much fun.
So what? Yeah. What was that like? It was to debut, because that's sort of like the local showcase, so to speak.
I never even thought we'd get the show, honestly, because we just started out. And, we weren't very well known and, you're nervous, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You're starting off, so you understand, you know what I mean? And Ode to Doom is pretty cool. It's like,
Ode to Doom's very cool.
It's a big thing. So we were like, oh my God, we're not worthy. You know what I mean? At first, you know, and then Claudia was really awesome about it. Like she totally let us play and, it was like a really amazing opportunity. So, we went and we were very nervous.
Mm-hmm.
But once we got past the first song, which we kind of sacrificed in a way,
yeah,
messed up the most on it. After that, it was all just, it went very smoothly, I thought. And we all had a lot of fun, and that was a very cool lineup.
Yeah, it was a really cool lineup.
It was a very cool lineup. So even that onto itself was amazing. I mean, meeting the bands, it was Whorehound, Mantis Mass, and
Thunderbird Divine.
Thunderbird Divine, and... yeah, just even meeting them afterwards and talking to them and having them, you know, tell us that they liked our music was another just great thing unto itself too. So, you know, it was great. Yeah, I couldn't have asked for a better show, honestly, you know? Yeah.
A better debut.
Yeah.
Did she reach out to you or did you reach out to her?
We reached out to her, I believe. And then, my memory is a little fuzzy, I remember now. So we reached out to her, but she didn't have anything at the moment.
Mm.
And then she's like, I think I might have something for later on. And then, you know, a couple months passed and we touched base more or less coincidentally at the same time. And that's what she said, you know, I got an open slot, you know, put you guys in. And that was it. It was cool.
Cool. Yeah, no, that was actually my first Ode to Doom as well,
really?
Just as going. So I had friends who were like, you have to go, just like, you know, it's a way. I'm like, it's the middle
it's
of the
cool,
week.
Man.
And I was like, I should do this because, and then I got the opportunity to do it through a website I was writing for at the time that I'm not associated with anymore, but they wanted me to go and I did the interview and it was kind of funny because I wound up doing the interview for myself. I was like, I'm sorry, I'm not doing it for this, but can you do it for me? And Whorehound was like, yeah, totally, that's fine. So now since that's passed, like what's changed for you guys in terms of like the focus of the band? I think you've had like another show or so after that, but like, you know, did that give you any like insight as to like what you were, you know, maybe need to change, what you didn't need to change, what was kind of working, whatever?
You know, we realized that we needed some new songs.
Yeah.
Our set list was only 20 minutes long. And, at Ode to Doom, I remember Claudia was telling me that I think it was like 45 minutes is like the slot, you know? And, we played half the time and have a choice, you know? So, it'd be cool to have more material, you know. Our last drummer had to leave the band, unfortunately, and we got a new drummer, Doug. So we're very excited to write new songs with Doug. It's going to take the band in a different direction. So we're excited about that as well. So there are multiple elements of excitement to writing the new material, not just playing a show, you know, also playing with Doug, you know. It also gave great insight on how to just go about booking shows and you know, the how that works, you know, contacting people and how to do it. And, you know, and I know that can be difficult, especially when starting off, but you know, I mean, it can definitely get easier the more you do it. So networking wise, it definitely helped a lot. It opened many doors and, you know, so that's something that came out of it that we want to also work on pretty much.
How did you guys get together?
At first it was just myself, Julian, and Mike, who was our old drummer. And even before that, I believe we had another bass player in the band. Mike had quit and Doug had joined, leaving myself, Julian, and Doug. That all happened maybe about a year or two. You know what I mean?
Do you guys meet here in New York? Is that how you get...
Yeah, we met here in New York. We met in Queens.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, at the studio over there, we practice.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. So you are you with the now that you have like the first record or EP or whatever, I'm not sure what you're calling it.
Mm-hmm. It's an EP.
EP.
It's just an EP.
So with the first EP, yeah, I remember reading a review for it. I forget who it was, so it said something about, was there like a concept behind it? It kind of seems like there's a concept behind it. Like, is the Iron Rider a concept or an idea?
The band itself isn't a concept.
Okay.
And it's kind of interesting. As far as the band goes, we're very, I mean, we don't really do like gimmicky type stuff.
Sure.
But the album is a concept. I mean, as a matter of fact, all the albums or EPs that we're gonna release are gonna have some kind of concept to them or some kind of story.
Okay.
And our first EP is definitely a concept EP. It's a story. Each track is a chapter in the story. Everything from the album art to the lyrics to even certain ways that the music sounds is all having to do with the concept.
You mentioned in your bio, like you take like some horror and whatnot influences.
Oh, yes.
And kind of inject that. And that's definitely like a prevalent theme, I would say, in like a good amount of doom metal.
Because
most of doom metal is like, you know, about, it's very like nihilistic and dreary and whatnot. So horror just like fits in right there. So like, you know, do you pull that from, I guess, like what are some of your favorite like horror movies, horror shit, for lack of a better phrase?
Some of my favorite horror movies. I mean, I
don't think it hurts.
I watch a lot of horror movies, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, my all-time favorite is it's a very, very low-budget movie called The Rambler.
Okay.
It's pretty obscure, you heard of it. It's like an experimental horror movie.
Okay.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite. One that people probably know, at least by now, that's very doom related is Mandy, that just came out.
Yeah. I feel like I'm in the outlier on that. I was not a huge fan of Mandy. I thought like I thought like it visually it was a very cool film,
yeah,
and it had a really cool soundtrack. Like I'm pretty sure Stephen O'Malley from Sun like worked on it,
yes,
which would explain a lot.
Yes,
and it was
pretty interesting.
I forget the composer's name. Like did a great, but I was not a crazy big fan of it, but I know a lot of people really, really liked it. So it was weird, to say the least.
Yes, and you know, you mentioned this this relation between doom and horror, and you know, so far I've only seen it in albums.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But and it has been done in film before. But in Mandy, it was so glorified,
mm-hmm,
you know what I mean? That relation between horror and fantasy,
mm-hmm,
and just doom metal music and drone music was completely put together and put in front of you and glorified. You know what I mean? It wasn't like a big secret. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was 100% a doom metal movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was interesting. The reception was interesting because it's like, you know, a lot of people loved it, a lot of people hated it, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess that's, you know, it's exactly what you said. You know what I mean? Only it's actually being done now.
So mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. But I mean, that's one movie that I did enjoy that I thought was pretty awesome. I mean, Suspiria is fantastic. That had a great remake. The you know, the original one from the 70s was also fantastic,
mm-hmm,
too. You know, those are some titles that I enjoyed, I suppose. You know?
Is that your plan for the like the rest of the releases to have like a horror concept behind them, or would you like explore other things? Like, is there, you know, would you pull in stuff from like your personal experiences, or do you want to keep it kind of like this is my art and it's artistic and?
Oh well, believe it or not, mm-hmm, it's actually a mix of both.
Okay.
Yeah, because Wondering If You're in Hell by Now does have a fictional story,
mm-hmm,
on its own, but
I guess all fiction at some point is derived from like truth.
From truth, absolutely, and it does have to do with an experience that I went through.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's definitely both. You know, I mean, there are things there.
Well, one thing I think that is really cool about the record is the actual album artwork. It's really cool.
Yes.
I'm kind of used to like debut album art not always being the best. Like, it's like, oh, we kind of just did what we could do. And I'm like, wow, this is like really professional looking. It's like, it looks like it's straight out of a 70s like horror flick, like the drawn posters, which is such a lost concept these days. Like, how did you get the artist, and how did you get that down? Is that someone you knew, or?
We met, believe it or not, our artist is actually from Indonesia.
Okay.
And his name is Echo, and he does all our artwork.
Mm-hmm.
We pretty much communicate overseas, and he's been doing all our artwork as a matter of fact. Not just the album cover, but there were a couple of other different pieces that he's done, and we're working on a comic.
Yeah, he's got a very comic book style.
That's what I wanted to go for too.
Mm-hmm.
So. We're doing a comic series on the album.
Okay.
Yeah, so each comic strip, there'll be several comic strips, and each comic strip is going to match the tracks. And
they're
going
That's
to,
really cool.
Yeah, and they're going to tell the story mm-hmm. of what the album's about.
And it's like a strip, not an issue.
Nope, yep.
So it's like a little more manageable.
Absolutely, yes. And then, there are six tracks on this album, so there's gonna be six strips.
That's really neat.
Telling the story, and then, by the end of it, you'll have the whole series and you'll have the whole story.
That's really neat. Yeah, like, where did you come up with that idea? Like, how did that come up? Was that just like something you thought would like work?
I sat there, I filled the bowl,
mm-hmm.
I lit it, and then I smoked it, and the idea came.
I mean that literally, works.
That was it. It kind of hit me. You know, I love comics.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I did kind of grow out of them, but I loved them a lot when I was a kid, especially Spawn.
Mm-hmm.
That was the comic I followed.
Spawn has like that. I mean, like Spawn has such mm-hmm. a like vibrant artwork, at least from like the early stuff. It was definitely something that I think hinged on like the artwork being awesome. Like the
and
dude's cape is the shit.
Yeah. It was just a lot darker and grittier, and it had this like city vibe to it that I really liked, you know. And I kept that in mind as I was. As I was thinking about this, I was like, wouldn't it be cool if, like, in those days while I was reading Spawn, I could listen to a Doom track that was about
like Spawn
the comic
or
I was reading,
like that.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then, I'll be watching like a movie and there'll be like a cool soundtrack behind it. And I'm like, oh, this like makes sense. You know, it sings, you know. You know what else was kind of an inspiration too? I don't know if you know this, but there's that whole Dark Side of the Moon, Wizard of Oz.
Oh, like that, if you play it and it's like perfectly synced up or whatever.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah. It is pretty weird.
It
can't be intentional.
It's a phenomenon.
But it's just
have
like.
Have you tried it?
You know, I've never been, I've
oh,
never done
Dylan.
It.
Dude.
It's like worth
you
it.
Lived. Are you kidding me, man? There's a part where Dorothy knocks on the Tin Man's chest and the heartbeat.
It's the heartbeat.
Sample on the freaking Pink Floyd song.
It's just like boom, boom,
like perfectly on sync, man. Like, come on.
Is it like actually on sync?
Yes.
Like, that's really. It's not like it goes. Well, the movie's longer than the album, right?
Yes, and what you're supposed to do is, once the album's over, it's like, you know, then you're kind of like, you know, you're humoring it a little bit.
Sure.
But you're supposed to leave the album on repeat. And then you're kind of just like you're fishing for stuff. You know?
Oh, okay. But like the initial like, you know, hour
is
like almost like to a T.
It does for the most part sync very well. I mean, there's like there's another part where there's a lyric that goes, and who knows which is which and who is who.
Yeah.
And when that's sung, that's the scene where the two witches are like. They're together and I guess they're kind of having like they're like battling it out or whatever.
Yeah, well there's like the part where it's like the what is
who,
it the
you know?
Where they're in like brain damage, there's like a lyric that corresponds to the is it the scarecrow like running around and jumping around
the
joy
on the grass.
Yes, there you go.
Absolutely.
He's on the grass,
it's you know what it is, man. You gotta believe because if you're skeptical, you're gonna find holes in it, you know.
Sure.
Absolutely, 100%. But if you just have fun with it and you really believe, you're gonna see it's so fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's so fun. And on YouTube they already have the video like already.
Oh, like it's set, like you can just watch it.
It's amazing.
Alright, well yeah,
so
I'll check it out.
Cool. But that was an inspiration. I was cool how the music told the story.
Yes.
And I was like, why not do that through a comic book?
I've always felt that like, well, maybe not always, but I've felt in the time that I've become such a hardcore like Doom fan is that I've always felt like, man, so much of this would be really cool in a movie. Like, why is more of this not in like a movie, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was funny, like, if you ever watched True Detective?
A little bit.
Yeah, there's an episode where like the Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson have to like go to a, I forget what it is, if it's like a neo-Nazi camp or something. They have to find something and they go in and like Matthew McConaughey's like doing all his like drugs to be like, and he's like, yeah, of course I'm a racist. And he like goes in and then like Holy Mountain by Sleep starts playing and like nobody picked up on it, but then somebody like mentioned on the internet and it's like, and everyone's like, oh yeah, of course that was badass because it's fucking Holy Mountain.
Yeah, man.
There you go. Which is like cool, but mm-hmm.
Or like what was it? There's another movie, Gummo, had
Gummo. Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, that was how a lot of people found out about Sleep. It was like Dragonaut. Like that's mm-hmm. You know, I haven't seen the movie, and everyone's like, oh, you're not a true Sleep fan if you haven't seen Gummo. And I'm just like, that's about like weird like inbred children like killing cats. Yeah.
Dude, it's such a weird, savage movie.
And like Harmony Korine's yeah. I don't know.
He's a savage in his own right now.
Yeah. So, no, I haven't seen it because I'm like, but I would watch it just because, like, I understand it's, like, a culturally important film, maybe not necessarily, like, a critically important film, if that makes any sense, you know? It's like you watch it more, and I guess this is, like, the same thing as a critical debate, but it's more like you would watch it more for, like, the discussion with your friends as opposed
totally.
To being like, this should be nominated for an Oscar.
Oh, right on. It's yeah, it's more of like a cultural film. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
It's
yeah,
it's
yeah.
A,
you do it to socialize.
It's a specific and, yeah. culture. It's a specific, you yeah. know, view, vision, whatever. So, mm-hmm. Anyway, so who else are some of your favorite, like, you know, Doom acts, maybe like right now?
Mm.
Or do you just like pull from other places and you like to listen to other stuff? You know, I know some folks don't dig into it as much because they like to keep their, you know, I listen to a lot of stuff that's not just, you know, doom metal and whatnot, so.
Yeah, I hear ya. I mean, I have influences that have always influenced me,
mm-hmm.
and those would be the blues musicians that I mentioned, mostly Junior Kimbrough and R.O. Burnside. But I mean, as far as it goes for Doom bands, I mean, I guess, well, definitely Electric Wizard, because I first started listening to them.
Is there anyone you're like super excited about, like right now, besides Iron Rider?
You know what? I'm really excited for Thunderbird Divine. They are so goddamn cool.
They are really cool. I hadn't heard of any of the bands, honestly, on that bill.
Oh,
and I was like, wow, they're really, really talented.
Good. Yeah. I've been listening to their album a lot, and definitely a lot of Acid King. I know they just got off tour. Oh, The Well. The Well is
The Well
amazing.
Is really good.
Oh my
yes.
god, they're such a great band.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not even fair.
Yeah, The Well is a lot of fun.
I know, they're great. One band I've been meaning to listen to and haven't had the chance is Conan.
Conan yeah. is...
I've heard a lot of great things about Conan.
So Conan, I'm a late fan of Conan, because they are, I think I described them to somebody as like, they're like Sun, but faster.
Okay.
They're very slow. Like they're
nice.
Very heavy.
Yeah.
But it is borderline to me. Like it is borderline experimental music. It's very, there's something about them. And I know that they advertise themselves as just sort of like, you know, no brain caveman metal, but I think what they do is actually like really, really interesting. And they have a live track on one of their albums, and the track is Krull, which is like one of the Robert E. Howard characters. Is it Krull or Cull? It's one of those. I don't remember off the top of my head. But it's just like 10 minutes, and it's just like this very tantric, rhythmic, brutal assault of like noise, and it's very simple, but it is very like complex, and it's just most of what you hear in the background vocally is just a guy going like, rah, rah! Like it sounds like a war cry. Like it's almost like he's trying to like imitate like a war horn or something like that. It's really interesting. So I'm definitely like a late.
Sounds enticing, man.
Yeah, it's music that requires a bit of attention and patience, but it's like pretty brutal. And I think they're one of those bands that would be really cool to see live. I feel like they benefit from being in a live scenario. Yeah. So they're playing Desert Fest this year. They were just announcing the initial lineup.
So if you're
looking for an opportunity to see them, they will be here in September.
And that lineup is insane.
And that's not even the full lineup.
What the hell?
Like last
year. How dare they?
I know. It's a great.
It's too savage, man.
It's a great. It was a great tease, and I was like, oh, I'm definitely going.
Yeah.
So I went last year, and it was a much smaller event. It was only it was 3 days as opposed to 4 days now, and the lineup was, I would say it was like 90% like American bands.
Nice.
And they're bringing in some like outside bands now and kind of making it a little bit bigger, so I'm excited to see how it goes.
That is cool. That's nice. Oh man, I would love to take a trip out there and catch one of those now.
Well, it's not even out there, it's right here in Brooklyn.
Oh, you know what? I was probably confusing it with Psycho Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah. Psycho is big with it. And they just put up their lineup not too recently for this year. It's a bit different than the past years. The focus seems to have changed a little bit.
Yeah, you're talking about Desert Fest. There was one already that passed. It was like three venues, right, or something. It was like The Well was in it, I think. And it was Bazaar, maybe? I don't know.
Year they did they did one night at St. Vitus, and then they did 2 days at The Well.
And now it's coming back, they're doing the
same thing, but they've added a day at The Well.
Okay, that's what it is, yeah.
So that's what it is. Normally, it's like a 3-day festival, and they get like a shitload of bands. So
it's coming up. I remember it was warm out when it happened.
Oh, it was cold.
It was cold. What the
it was in April. I think they did it in April because they thought it was going to be like warm enough to be outside, but not like, you know, super hot. And then it was just this really, and it was like the end of April, and it was this very like bizarre. Like cold wave that just came over it. Like I remember on Sunday it was like a little rainy and everyone was like kind of cold and it was dreary and it was a little everyone had fun, but it was like a little, it was more dour than what they wanted. So they moved it till the end of September because they're thinking like, they moved it towards the beginning of September, so they're like, okay, it won't be like blistering hot in like August. But I mean, last year September was really hot too, so
yeah that's what I remember.
We'll see.
Yeah, I definitely gotta look more into that because, you know, if I'm thinking about the same festival, I remember the lineup was really good.
Yeah, you know? I think it's only gonna get better. Yeah. So,
Lightmaker is fantastic too.
Lightmaker is pretty cool.
They just released a single that was great. Greenhog is another band we played with here, and they were fantastic too. I can't wait to hear.
Oh, you played right here?
Yeah, right over there.
Oh wow,
that was cool. Yeah,
there's a really nice New York doom scene that's like built up, or at least in this area.
Oh yeah, absolutely, and it's only gonna get bigger.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you, man, it's only gonna get bigger.
Especially in like the New York, New Jersey, kind of like going a little more upwards. Band that I really enjoy, I've talked about on the podcast before, from the Hudson Valley, is Sun Voyager. If you're familiar with them.
Yes.
They're really good.
Huh? I've played them in the wine shop a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
I occasionally play some doom in the wine shop.
But they're not like abrasive, so you can kind of get away with
absolutely.
It.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they're great. They're, you know what I mean? They're not too aggressive where it's like they'd scare customers away, so I can definitely keep them on, and you know, they're a great band to play in the shop.
So is there anything you want to plug? Like in terms of like where we can find your band and whatnot?
Just, you know, on Bandcamp.
Okay.
On Bandcamp, on Spotify too. Instagram is where we update Instagram most frequently. So definitely follow us on there and you know, come check us out and
You can just follow him on all the stuff and check it out. Mark, thanks for taking the time out of your day to talk to us.
No problem, man.
And that will do it for this chapter of the diary.
Our set list was very short. Our set list
I'm
was
so
very
sorry.
Short. That's okay. No problem.
You know what? We're day drinking.
So are
so
we.
So are we.
No worries. We do not judge. Yes.
That's all good.
So
that's okay.
No, it's okay. We're gonna put it in as a bonus feature.
Do your interview. I'll come out as a feature.
Nice.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh man, I lost my train of thought right there.
That's okay. What I'm talking about.
I want to text Jay. Wait, why?